Oh, what about? Good morning. We welcome you to our 9:40 service on this very special day where we honor mothers all over the world. We're thankful that you're here. There are always many announcements in the bulletin. I urge you to read those and read them carefully so that you'll know what's happening around here these next few days and weeks. If you are visiting with us, and I suspect we'll have quite a few visitors today, take a moment at the end of the service and go by our information center over here. We have a gift for you and also information about our church. We love having people visit, so please take a moment and do that at the end of the service, if you will. This afternoon, there will be a Mother's Day concert here at 2 o'clock. The Gainesville Band will be playing. It's kind of an annual tradition. I understand it's very, very good, so you might want to put that on your agenda for the afternoon among your other plans for the day. We are indeed delighted to have you here, and we hope you have a wonderful experience in worshiping together. I invite you to join me for just a moment of prayer as we begin our time of worship together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for mothers everywhere who commit their lives to caring for their families. We thank you for the chance to honor them and to express appreciation for the persons they are, for what they meant to each of us. Bless this service of worship today. May it be a very special time, a time of remembering, a time of celebrating, a time of commitment where we give our lives afresh to you. And all of these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now prepare your hearts and your minds for this time of worship.
Trust in Him.
Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son. Friends, at this time I have the honor of baptizing Kendra Jean Monroe. Will the Monroes stand together at this time? Will you all stand? It's about, looks like 50 of you guys. Put your hands together and let's welcome the Monroe family in our midst this morning. And feel free to come on up. You'll come on up. For those of you who are new to the United Methodist Church, we have two forms of a sacrament. The first is Holy Communion, and the second is baptism. And I have the honor of baptizing beautiful Kendra this morning. Marcy, if you'll come and stand up here. And Pam and Jim, if you all want to join us up here. Family, if you want to stand alongside the altar rail, that's fine. Or come on up. Beautiful family.
Introduce everyone this morning?
We've already talked about that. Why don't I start with the godparents?
Well, Dan's not here, and he likes everyone to know who's
I hear
here.
You.
You know,
I hear you.
So I feel like I got to do the Dan duty.
Let's start with the godparents. Why don't you introduce yourselves and share with us who you are and where you're from? And
I'm Roger Portell. I'm from Gainesville. This is my wife, Ann.
And I'm Pam.
Hi, Pam.
I'm famous for being Pam's husband, Jim Ivey, the, grandfather.
I'm John Ivey, and I'm Jim Ivey's son, and this is my daughter, Alexandra, and my, where is she? Oh, my wife, Beth, my daughter, Angelica, my son, Benjamin, my daughter, Alyssa.
I'm Mary Ivey, my husband, Tom. I would be the aunt.
She's my daughter, and her daughter right here.
And I'm her other daughter.
Well, my other daughter, Christy, and her husband, Marco, my granddaughter, Layla, and Miles, my grandson.
All right. Well, welcome everyone, and also Anna and Mariah are also Marcy's two daughters. And it's just an honor to share you all with us today. Monique, will you pray over the water at this time?
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of baptism, for that holy bath that you give us to remind us that we are born into your church, into your body of Christ. Bless this time for all of us as a reminder of our baptisms, that you bring us to the water, that the Holy Spirit surrounds all of us, and in this water we are given new life.
She is wide awake. God bless you. Marcia, I just want to ask you a question. Do you profess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And do you promise to rear kindred in the life of the church, upholding the standards of the Christian faith? If so, say I do. All right. Kendra Jean Monroe, we baptize you now, Kendra, in the name of the Father. Oh, it's okay. And in the name of the Son. And in the name of the precious Holy Spirit. God bless you. Can I hold her? Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious God, now we pray for the impartation of the Holy Spirit to come upon her and to seal her soul for the day of redemption. In the name of Jesus, we thank you now for Kendra, and we celebrate her entry into the life of the church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Can I stand up here? Congregation, will you help me welcome little precious Kendra Jean Monroe into the life of the church? Will you now join in with this response? We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Amen. Once again, let's welcome the Monroe's family. Bless you. Thank you all.
Long.
Thank you. At this time, if I could have all the children come forward for a children's chat. Come on down. I can see you right there, so you have to come. In the front row, it's a requirement. Clay, come on, buddy. See, if I know them by name, then they can't get away. All right, come on up with me. I promise it's going to be fun. Have a seat. Come on down. Hello, ladies. Looking fabulous. I remember you, John Marshall. Have a seat. Good to see you. Good morning. Oh. Good morning, everybody. Well, I thought we might have a little activity this morning to remember what it's like sometimes for things that we do to our moms or our friends out here, what it's like to be a mom, and all of us had a mom at some point, so what it was like to do that. So we're just going to have a little moment of being a mom here, and I'm going to need everyone's help. I know I haven't been up here for a while doing a children's chat, and I'm not sure Dan makes you have a participatory children's chat, but we're going to do that this morning, okay? So I'm going to have you all saying certain things. Are you ready? We're just going to have a little appreciation of moms here. Okay, so we're all going to have a moment where we pretend like we are all in the car together. Okay? So, what I need you to do is I need sunlight and this little sliver right here to say when I point to you, are you there yet? Are you ready? Can you try? Let's try it. Okay, good job. All right. How about these two right here? I need you to say these sections. I'm hungry. Can you try that? Ready? Good job. I'm hungry too. Okay? All right. So these two, well, this section right here, okay, I need you to say, I need to go to the bathroom. Okay? Let's try it. Okay? How about these sections right here? I'm sick. Can you try it? Okay, and then you guys up here, are you ready? And Mr. Troy, are you ready? She's bothering me. Ready? Oh, that was pitiful, pitiful. Try it again, ready?
She's bothering me.
All right, so now we're going to have a little chorus here. You remember your parts? Let's try. Well, just to remember, are we there yet? I'm hungry. I need to go to the bathroom. I'm sick. She's bothering me. Are you ready? So I'm going to point to you, and you have to say your part. Are you ready? So that was just a little moment of what it's like to be inside our mom's head in the car when it feels like, even though it might only be just one of you, many, many people all telling us this different things, okay? So let's have a prayer together this morning. Gracious God, we thank you for this day when we celebrate moms. We thank you for their patience, for their love, for their unconditional love for us and for you. Bless this time and help us to remember to always love and appreciate them for all the wonderful things that they do to teach us about who you are and how much you love us. Bless this wonderful day of mothers. Help us to remember them, to honor them, to have patience with them, and for them to have patience with us. And all God's children said, amen. All right, good job, guys. And here, I have a little handout for you. You want to hand out the papers, and you can stand there with the crayons, and then we'll get everybody going.
Good job, Monique. Thank you. That is just about the way it sounds in the car when you're riding along with family. As they're going back to their seats, we'll come now to our prayer time. We will remember those who are hospitalized or in recovery, some form or another from surgery or illness. And we'll put those names up on the screen, if you will. These are people we want to remember in a special way. You can read those for yourself. But in addition to those, I have a couple others I'd like to mention to you this morning. First of all, one of our dear members, Hank Brotherton, passed away this weekend. So we'll remember his wife, Shirley, in our prayers. As of now, I don't know the time of the service for Hank. We'll make that word available to you as soon as we have it. And another dear member of our congregation who's been away now for a while, Helen Lawrence, passed away. Many of you will remember little Helen about this tall who hugged everybody when they came into church, especially if you came to the 8:30 service or 8:15 service. She was always there. She moved to Houston a year or two ago and has always missed her Trinity family. I used to get a call from her about once every 6 weeks or so and just to catch up on what was going on here. Helen passed away. They do have plans for memorial service for her at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning in our chapel. So you'll want to make note of that. Let's remember these families as well as these dear friends who are in hospitals or recovering. Let's bow our heads now for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we know that You are so gracious, so kind, and so loving. When we lose loved ones that mean so much to us, You're there to comfort and guide and provide for every need that we have. And so we commit Hank's family and Helen's family to Your care. And we believe that even as we're praying this morning, that You're there with them to give them strength and peace and comfort. We pray for these others who have special needs there in hospitals or rehab centers or nursing homes or perhaps at home recovering. Bless them and give them fast healing and wholeness. Again, we give thanks for mothers, mothers who love their families so much, mothers who are caring and compassionate, who go the second and third mile to be the best person and the best mother they can be. We all have been touched profoundly by mothers who loved us. And we give You thanks for them and ask Your continued blessings upon them as they live their lives to the fullest each day. We pray for Monique as she preaches today that You might inspire her and use her words in a special and powerful way to touch our lives. We thank You for her ministry among us, for all the ways she has worked with children and youth and adults and has made such a positive difference in our church. Now watch over us as we worship together. May Your Holy Spirit move among us, lifting our spirits and drawing us closer to You. All of these things we pray together. And then we join to pray that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Appalachia, where the dark sky rolls, cold fields lie so barren and mean. Mountain tops that reach like thorns and brick the sky until it leaves. Soot-black faces, rolled-up sleeves, undefeated football teams. From the coal mines up to the major leagues, land is torn from shovels and cleats. Appalachian bloodlines, they run dark and they run deep, deeper than the furrows where the ground is hard and steep, deeper than the word lines on a bordered farmer's face, more solemn than a hungry family when they pause for grace. Carter family singing Amazing Grace. I'll never forget my Maybell's face. Mountain wisdom and a crinkly smile. It's a face I can pick out of any crowd. Churches are full on Sunday morning, speaking in tongues of old King James. Family Bibles weathered and worn with 10 generations of family names. Oh, 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 oh. Appalachian bloodlines, they run dark and they run deep. Deeper than the furrows where the ground is hard and steep. Deeper than the weary lines on a poor dirt farmer's face. More solemn than a hungry family, they pause for grace. Hotter around here in the summertime, hotter than a rocket on the 4th of July. When you start to doubt if you exist, God believes in you. Confounded by the evidence, God believes in you. When your life burns so dim, when your chances seem so slim, and you swear you don't believe in Him, God believes in you. When you rise up just to fall again, God believes in you. Deserted by your closest friends, God believes in you.
Aren't you proud of a church like this that sends people all over the world, literally, to serve in the name of Christ? I can't even imagine how many youth and adults have attended the Appalachian Service Project over the years, hundreds and thousands of people, because we send about 70 or 80 every summer. In addition, this team effort group is the junior high group that goes out, and so I'm just really proud. I hadn't planned to do this, but if you've been on any of these projects, the Appalachian Service Project or team effort or anything, adult or youth, would you stand so we can see just in this crowd today who've been on these trips? Look at this. Wow. In addition to this group, we have a group that just came back from Haiti. I don't know how many of them are here today, but we'd love to have you stand as well. I know there were two different teams going. Anybody here from that went on the Haitian trip? Yes, at least one here, two, several back here, yeah. And these are people, I can promise you, that go wherever the needs are. Wherever the needs are, they're there. And this church is well represented by these wonderful, wonderful people. How great that is. That's our mission. The Appalachian Service Project is our mission offering for the day. You know where those boxes are in the back. Obviously want to support that, make sure they have a wonderful trip. Before we have the ushers come down, I'd like for you to stand and tell each other just how proud you are to be part of a church like Trinity United Methodist Church.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning
be seated. I didn't mention this as I was mentioning this earlier, but just think of all the lives that have been changed from our congregation for going out and serving others. You just can't imagine how that's influenced people's lives for the rest of their lives. I invite you to give and give generously, and I also invite you now to pray with me, if you will. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon these gifts. We know that everything we have is a gift from you, and we consider it such a great joy and privilege to give back. Bless these gifts. Use them as you will to bring others into your kingdom. Amen.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Today, the Sunlight Choir will be singing a song called Talk by Coldplay. This song is about someone who wants to talk and love God, but they don't know how or how far it will get them. We all know that he's willing to talk, though, because he says, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk. Talking and praying are one of the most powerful things. I myself find it amazing that I can talk to God whenever I want to, and he is willing to help me through whatever I'm going through. In Psalms 107:28-30, it says, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. God can do so much for us. We just have to have faith and pray. In the respect of Mother's Day, sometimes it's hard to talk to our parents and mothers and fathers. But in the end, it's worth it because we have a better understanding of each other, and we're willing to work with each other to fix problems, just like with God. Now singing is Maddie Berger with the Sunlight Choir.
Talking it to me. to climb a ladder up to the sun, or write a song nobody has sung, or do something that's never been done. Do something that's never been done.
Your mom happy?
Flowers. When I listen.
When I be good or something?
A hug.
No, that's suicide.
What makes your mom sad?
When I don't listen. Oh, I can only get hurt.
What's something that your mom does every day?
Read the Bible, clean the house.
And I think work.
Kisses me.
What's something your mom always says to you?
I love you and brush my teeth.
Go clean your room.
Behave. Don't let the dog upstairs.
Do not bother mom while she's sleeping.
How old is your mom?
I think 5.
12. That's a very, very tricky question.
I know she's a half and something.
7.
What's your mom's favorite thing to do?
Play with me, sit in the chair, date night, shop, shopping, go shopping.
This is shopping every day. She always wants to go shopping.
She and I get tired. The match got boring.
Where's your mom's favorite place to go?
Chinese restaurant.
An animal shelter.
I think it's to the mall.
Go to the restroom.
How are you and your mom the same?
Our hair.
Our eyes.
We have the same phones. We're really flexible.
We both have long tongues, but my sister and my dad don't really.
How are you and your mom different?
Our eyes are different.
The color of me. I'm brown and she's tan.
Mom has curly hair and I have straight hair.
I do have better abs.
What's your favorite thing about your mom?
That she doesn't like to be away from us. When she gets down the floor and plays with me.
She's a really good teacher.
I like her face. Her smile. When she lets me put on her makeup.
That I can cuddle with her at night.
She is really special. She's really, 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 really nice.
How do you know that your mom loves you?
she prays and she kisses me and she says, I love you.
Because she's in my family.
How she takes care of us.
By making breakfast.
Do my laundry.
That she helps me get dressed.
Takes me to all the things I do after school.
That she plays games with me.
Play soccer with me.
Play bubbles.
When I sit in her lap.
We watch movies.
We get a nasty in it.
Make a scrapbook.
Fish.
Outside cookouts and bonfires.
She spends time with us and not all by herself.
She takes it with us.
She does everything with me.
Because she says it every day.
Kisses me every night.
And all kinds of stuff.
I just know that she loves me because she says, I'll always love you.
She's awesome.
She loves me no matter what. Like God.
I love you, Mommy. Happy Mother's Day.
Already tears out there. I see them. I have to tell you what an honor it is today to preach a sermon on Mother's Day, being a daughter and a mother and a woman minister. Not everyone gets that opportunity, and so it's a true honor to do that. One of the greatest examples of God's love is a motherly love, an unconditional, nurturing, everyday love that mothers have the opportunity and the privilege to give. And so I thought on this day, what better scripture to talk about that love of God than 1 Corinthians 13, which I share with you now. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, then I might boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's the next one. So this morning, I wanted to share with you about the privilege of love. Last time I was here, I preached to you, if you remember, a sermon called The Symbol of Love. And we talked about how the symbol of love is not a heart, but a cross. That on the cross, Jesus represents the truest symbol and spirit of love on the cross, and that he extends that love to us and calls us to love one another. And so it's our true privilege to know that love and to extend that love into the world. This morning, I wanted to share with you a story. Recently, I was talking with a young mom in our church, Jen Garrett. And Jen Garrett has a little boy the same age as mine. She has Davis and I have Teddy, and they're about 4 years old. And they've become to be good friends. And we were talking on the phone together about them. And I was talking about how Mother's Day was coming up and how I was going to be preaching on Mother's Day. And she said, oh, you know, I can't stand Mother's Day. I was like, really, Jen, why don't you like Mother's Day? And she said, well, I don't like all the cards and the flowers. Mother's Day is not really about me. It's about the privilege that I have to love my children. But it's a true privilege and an honor to know a love that I can share with them and to share that in their lives. And that really got me thinking. I thought, wow, you just wrote my whole sermon right there. Because it's true, it is a privilege that we know a true love and a true God, that we can extend that love every day in our lives, and that we have the honor to do that to our children, whether that's our biological children or anyone in this world, that we have this dear chance to share God's love and to have that privilege to love them. It reminds me of the scripture that I almost shared with you before from Galatians 2:20, which is this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So just like this last sermon, we talked about how we are a part of the crucifixion of Christ with him, that we become part of his story, and it becomes our honor to live out that story, that it's our privilege to know that love and to share it with our children and in this life that we have. Mother's Day, as you know, is a time to honor moms, and motherly love is an everyday love. It's an everyday love that includes the laundry and the dishes and the diapers and the vacuuming and all that stuff that happens on a daily basis. And it's easy to forget that that is love, and it's easy to forget that those are things that we do to care for our family and to share that love with others. But it's a reminder of the love that God has for us on a daily basis. It reminds me of a favorite book that I have. You might have read it too, called Quotidian Mysteries. And the subtitle is Laundry, Liturgy, and Women's Work by Kathleen Norris. And the word quotidian, you hear the word quote in it, it just means every day. It means the everyday things that we do. And what she says is that as you're going about your everyday things that you do, that God becomes present within those things. That as you're doing the laundry and washing the dishes and driving in the car and doing all the things that you do, that God becomes a part of those moments and provides within those moments where we're just sort of not thinking about what we're doing, a space for us to be present within our lives. That God uses those everyday moments of our lives to become a special privilege for us to know him and to love him. But just like this morning, as Kendra was baptized, God uses a bath. And as we are to take communion later, God uses a meal to share his love with us. And isn't that like a mother's love, a mother who bathes and feeds her children? And isn't that an extension of that love? It reminds me of one of my favorite scriptures, which is the Shema, which is the very favorite verse of the Jewish people, the one that they quote and they put on a special thing. I'm going to talk to you about that. If you could bring up that Deuteronomy verse. And here in Deuteronomy, we see, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates." This scripture is a really important one to the Jewish people and to us. The Jewish people take this special scripture, which they call the Shema, which means to hear. It's that first word, "Hear, O Israel." And they take it and they make it on a really, really small piece of paper, and they roll it up and they put it inside a little box or a little container, and they put it right on the doorposts of their house. And I had one growing up that my dad had made, and we have one at our house. And it reminds us that every time we go in and out the door, reminds us that God loves us and reminds us that it's our job to share that love with our neighbors, and it's our privilege to teach that love to our children. It's just a part of our everyday, as is doing the laundry or the dishes or the vacuuming. All those things that are so a part of our everyday, and God wants us to remember and remind us of the privilege that God is a part of those everyday things, because a motherly love just like that is everyday. And it's an everyday love, but it's an everyday love that is fleeting. And if we aren't paying attention, we can lose out on opportunities to share love with one another. We're all so busy in our day-to-day that it's easy to forget to pay attention and to take a chance on opportunities when we have them. Another honor that I've had is to know another young mom in our church named Rebecca Tillman. And Rebecca is just a dear person and a dear mom. And she tells a story about how she and her son Ethan, who is 3 years old, were going to have breakfast. And Ethan comes out and says, "Mom, I want ice cream for breakfast." And she looks at him and thinks, should I give him ice cream for breakfast, or should I have a more sensible breakfast for Ethan this morning? And she thought, okay, well, it's only once. We'll have ice cream for breakfast this morning. And so they had the chance to sit together and enjoy a fun meal, a fun breakfast, where they got to sit and take some time to remember how much they loved each other and how much fun life can truly be. And both she and I, and many of you who know the story, are very thankful that she took that one opportunity to eat ice cream for breakfast with Ethan that morning. because not long after, Ethan passed away very unexpectedly and very tragically, and she didn't have another opportunity to eat ice cream for breakfast with Ethan. But in his memory and in his honor, she asks, and she and her husband, Jake, ask that other, we all have ice cream for breakfast on Ethan's birthday and take the time to enjoy life and to find the privilege in that moment of loving one another and of having a chance to spend special days together. Motherly love is a daily thing, but it's also, it's a powerful thing. It's one that is beyond our understanding, and it's one that points to the powerful love of God. And it reminds me of this verse. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The love of God is a powerful and wonderful thing, and the power of a motherly love is just as strong and just as wonderful. Not very long ago, last week, I had the opportunity and the privilege to preside at my husband's grandmother's funeral. It was up in Sleepy Hollow, New York, the actual place where the story took place. And it was in this little tiny church that is the actual oldest church in the country. It's called the Old Dutch Church. And it's just as simple and as beautiful as you would think the oldest church in the country might be. It's this little small building, these old wooden pews and wooden floors that you just think about all the people who have walked on those floors in that little church. And as I was there with my family and had the opportunity to love them and to care for them through their grief, it reminded me of the story of this woman that we were celebrating on that day. And I got a chance to talk to her friends and her family about what she was like growing up and what she loved to do and things that she would say and things that she was famous for doing. And I heard stories about how funny she was and how much she enjoyed shopping and how much she enjoyed being together with her family. And it made me think of the legacy that she had passed on, because I also know some folks who are pretty funny, who got the same sense of humor from her as my husband and my sons. And it reminded me of that precious love. But it also did one other special thing. Ryan's grandmother has been suffering from progressive aphasia for the past 5 or 6 years. She had lost the ability to communicate. It's a form of dementia where you can't talk and you can't write. You know what you want to say, but you can't think of the words to say it. And it got progressively worse to where she couldn't communicate at all and then couldn't function. And so her death was a sigh of relief that she, someone who was so full of life, is now able to be full of life again. But it also reminded me of a special story of love, a special story of power, of God's love. And that was a few years ago, Ryan's dad and his grandmother were sitting at the kitchen table, and this was way past her ability to be able to communicate. But they were sitting there, and Ryan's dad was talking to her about stories of her childhood and stories of that he had remembered growing up in Sleepy Hollow, and just a time when they were reminiscing about good old days. And even though she couldn't talk anymore, and she couldn't respond in the way that you or I could, she was there in that moment. She understood everything that he was saying, and she was responding to him. And that was just a beautiful picture to me of the love that she and her son shared, and how that love was greater than her disability. It was greater than the disabilities that she had, so that even if she couldn't talk, she was there in that moment. And that reminds me of the love that God has for us, that is greater and more powerful than disability, than fear, than anything in this world. And it's one that motherhood points us to, the power of that love. Motherhood is a wonderful thing, and it reminds us of also the power of forgiveness. And if we go back to that scripture from 1 Corinthians, love is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. I would be remiss to preach a Mother's Day sermon if I didn't talk about my own experience of motherhood. And I have to say that it is the biggest joy and honor of my life to raise my two boys, who are unbelievably now 4 years old and 2 years old. And they are just truly wonderful, and for me to be able to raise them with my best friend is just a pleasure and an honor. But they test my patience more than I ever thought would happen. And I thought I would just share a little story this morning for you about how life with two little boys, if you've forgotten or if, you know, this is your life now, you'll appreciate this story. About a month ago now, I was on the phone with Tammy, our receptionist at the church, and we were talking about church stuff, and I was in the backyard with my, boys. And I was talking on the phone, trying to be the cordial minister person on the phone and watch my boys at the same time. And my two-year-old is just about getting ready to be potty trained, and he likes to take his diaper off often, which is fine. You can be naked at the house, no big deal. But he also is in the habit of pooping when he is naked. And so what happened was my two-year-old had taken his diaper off and he pooped right on the patio. And then he stepped in it. And then he got up on the chair and he sat down. And then the dog comes over. Let me tell you, you can't make this stuff up. This actually happened. So the dog comes over and starts to eat the poop that he had stepped in. And so I go, trying to be all civil because I'm still on the phone, and I go to get the hose and to try to clean everybody off, and I go to grab the nozzle, which I didn't realize the boys had broken, and I grab the nozzle and I push the button and water comes shooting up in my face. So here I am, still on the phone, water all over me, big mess to clean up, and in that moment I was thinking about the power of a mother's love that I might have wanted to tear my hair out, but I love those boys. And I even love that dog because love is a powerful thing. Because I love those boys, and as much as they drive me up the wall, they're my boys. And that just, if that doesn't speak to this verse, I'm not exactly sure what else would. You know, love is such a powerful thing, and Mother's Day is such a wonderful day, and it's a day to honor our moms, but it's also a day to honor our non-biological moms in life, the people that God has given us and we've had a privilege to know and to love in our life, the many people, whether they be male or female, younger, older, people in our lives that God has blessed us and have been mothers to us. And I'm looking around the room and seeing so many of you have been mothers to me. Of course, Jean, who has been a true mentor and a mom to me over the years, and I just thank her for that. But all of you in this room have, I'm almost positive we all have met Beth Haynes and have been a part of her wonderful life. And I wanted you to raise your hand if your life has been touched by the ministry of Beth Haynes. See, she is not here today. We get to talk about her and how wonderful she is. But she has been a mom to so many of us in this room, whether it be through her ministry of Alert or Coffee Talk or Help with Sunlight or all the wonderful things that she has done in her ministry here in the past 8 years. And even before so, volunteering with Sunlight and with youth and with her children. If anyone has earned the name Mama, it would be Mama Haynes. And so I thought on this Mother's Day sermon, with Beth so close to retirement, we might have a chance to honor her and love her. And I wanted to do that in person, but Beth is actually in her true form up being a mom to her Chinese exchange student who lived with her during high school and is now graduating college in Iowa. And so she and Roger are up there and being a mom to Vera. And she said, Monique, I'm so sorry, I'm going to miss your sermon, but I'm going to be with Vera. And so I thought we might do this because Beth said that she would listen to my sermon on the computer. So if you could all, on the count of three, we're going to say we love you, Mama Haynes. Are you ready? Now, if you know Beth, she knows how much she would truly love that because she is just the epitome of love. And so it just wouldn't be right to have a sermon on Mother's Day without mentioning Beth Haynes. And we wouldn't let her retire if we didn't know that she was going to be a full-time grandma to her grandson, Cameron. So my ode to Beth Haynes this morning. Motherly love is a privilege in that it is an unconditional love. If you remember back in the video, the last thing that the kids say is, my mom loves me just like God. And it is truly an unconditional love in so many ways. If we remember our favorite scripture, John 3:16, that scripture says, "For God so loved the world." That God loved the world no matter what. That it is it's a scripture that reminds us that God loves the world and doesn't see the sin that is in the world. And I would love for this to be our challenge this morning on Mother's Day, for us to see the world as God sees it. For us to see the world as a mother sees her family, that she sees the things that are going on. She knows there are some poor choices being made, but that she loves them anyway. And wouldn't that be a great challenge for us to be able to see the world as God sees it, to extend grace to the world as God does, and to love one another no matter what. As moms, we often say, "Now that was a poor choice." I'm sure you've all said that many times in your life. But separating that poor choice from who that person is makes a difference in how you talk to them and how you think and how they feel when you talk to them. And it reminds me of a famous saying of Alice Wallace. On staff, we have many, many staff meetings, and Dan and David and all of us get together and we try to come up with some good ideas for you and for the church. And every once in a while, we come up with an idea and Alice will look at us and she'll say, "I love you." "No." And what she's saying in that moment is that she loves us and she respects us and she wants to affirm us in who we are, but you're absolutely crazy. No, we are not going to do that. And it's an example of a motherly love, an example that no matter what, even if you're crazy, we're going to love you through it. And as United Methodists, people who are focused on grace, it is our challenge in this world to love this world and everyone in it like we are their mothers, that we love them even when they're making poor choices, and we will help them to know more love and to be a better person in this world. This church has also been an example of an unexpected love in my life and a love that I have had the honor of being a part of. This church has been my mom in a lot of ways. It has been the first place where I served, the place where I got to raise my children, and be through many firsts, even preaching, which you know, if you know me, I absolutely hate to do, but God wants me to be here, so here I am. And it has been a true place to know how to love and know how to grow and know how to learn. And one of the best ways that this church has helped me to grow and to know how to be a minister is through the passing of my mom. About 3 years ago, my mom passed away, and this church was a tremendous, the only way that I got through that experience, because it was your strength and your faith that you showed to me that helped me through. Many people on the staff came and helped me through that service, and many people in the church came as well. Helped me through the memorial service of my mom. And Josh Pusey sang a song that reminded me of my mom that Sunlight had sang, which was "Shower the People." And that song was just perfect for my mom. My mom was the epitome of that song, whether it was the cashier at Publix or anyone in our family or anyone that she met, she would just shower them with love. That was who she was. I can remember when Hurricane Wilma came through, and everyone everywhere down south in South Florida was just, all of the houses were a mess. And what did my mom do but go to the only grocery store she could find open and buy bread for the entire community? And I was up at seminary, but she told me how she just brought bread to everyone. And I can just see her walking around with loaves of bread going, "White or wheat? What would you like?" Because that was who my mom was. She was the epitome of that love. And so this church, through the singing of that song, was just a mom to me. It's just a way to help me through that time and remind me of God's love for me, even amidst my pain. So this morning, so that I can honor my mom without crying too much, I've asked John Webster and Josh Pusey and Alice to sing that song in honor of my mom, and for a chance for you to be able to honor your moms, biological or not, and remember them this morning. So as they sing, and as you come forward to receive communion this morning, I hope that you will take a carnation and take a pink or a red one if your mom is living, and a white one if she has passed, and take this time to truly honor your mom, to honor her for the privilege that she has given you in your life to know love, and to be able to know what it's like so that you can extend it to others. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you this morning for mothers, mothers in all their forms. We thank you for the gift of motherly love, that unconditional, everyday love that you give us and that we are called to extend. We thank you for that privilege and let us always, each and every day, even the days that aren't Mother's Day, remember how important it is that you shower us with love and you call us to shower others with that love too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can play the game, you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. But tell me, how do you stand there with a broken heart, ashamed of playing the fool? One thing can lead to another, it doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice, just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna work out fine if we only will. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be much better if we only will. You cannot hide. This is widely known. And what you plan to do with your foolish pride when you're all by yourself alone. Won't you tell somebody the way that you feel? Feel it beginning to ease. I think it's true what they say about the squeaky wheel. Always getting the grease. Better to shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be just fine if we only will. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be much better if we only will. You can play the game, you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me, how do you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing the fool? One thing can lead to another, it doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. are gonna work out fine if we only will. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be much better if we only will. But you cannot hide. This is widely known. And what you plan to do with your foolish pride when you're all by yourself alone. Won't you tell somebody the way that you feel? You feel it beginning to ease. Think it's true what they say about the squeaky wheel always getting the grease. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be just fine if we only will. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be much better if we only will.
The hand of the person next to you. Gracious God, on this Mother's Day, we thank you for your love, for the privilege of knowing it. Help us to go out into this world. Remember that love. See each and every person as one of your children, and extend that love to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. We'll know that we have been revived when we shall.